This week on Culture File, we've been preparing for the Messiah season, getting to know the alignment of times and tides and 18th century It Girls that resulted in Dublin being the venue for the world premiere of Handel's most enduring work. And it's with one of those It Girls, the singer Susanna Sibber, that we finally enter the Charitable Music Hall in Fishamble Street on the evening of April 13th, 1742, for the world premiere of a new oratorio by Mr. Handel, to be known as The Messiah.
A very famous contralto took part in the first performance of Messiah, Susanna Sibber, and her story is an extraordinary one. She begins as the daughter of an upholsterer and undertaker in London called Thomas Arne. He runs into financial difficulties. He decides to put his 17-year-old daughter on the stage, and she's a superb success right from the start. Then Daddy persuades daughter that she ought to marry the poet laureate's son, Theophilus Sibber. She takes one look at him and decides not really, but Daddy nevertheless insists. And so they are married. It's not a very successful marriage. He is a wild, dissolute man who has constant affairs. She gets venereal disease. She loses her first two children. But nevertheless, she is making money on the stage, and she's making money. He's sort of reasonably successful on the stage and as a stage manager, but she's making much more money than him, but he's spending it all. And he eventually decides he can raise money by introducing her to a gentleman called William Sloper. Sloper lends, in inverted commas, money to Theophilus Sibber. He is introduced to Susanna, and they get on extremely well, and in fact they become lovers with the full support of her husband Theophilus. But then they're so much in love that they decide they want to set up with each other for the rest of their lives. And this means that Theophilus is going to run out of a regular source of income from William Sloper. So he brings an extraordinary case against William Sloper for what is then called criminal conversation. In other words, having an illicit affair with his wife. And the trial was very, very public indeed, especially one man at the back of the court disobeyed the judge's instructions and took down what was said verbatim. And so people knew the graphic details about a man who hired them a room, boring holes through the wainscot to see what they were up to, and describing in graphic detail.
Mrs. Sibber is an artiste.
Common whore she is, and not a screed more than it.
She's to sing in the master's new work at Dublin. People pay good money to have her perform.
They certainly do, and go home satisfied.
Ah, Marjorie.
I think you fancy her yourself, you Barbado of lust. I saw you leering at her this morning.
Rot stinks and dies, and is thrown under feet.
The court decided to award Theophilus Sibber £10. That was an indication that they knew that Theophilus had encouraged this whole affair. So she disappeared then for 3 years into the countryside. Hardly anybody knew where she was. Her husband refused to allow her to appear on the stage, as he was then entitled to do. But then she got a letter. And this letter was from John Quinn. John Quinn was a great bear of a man, an Irishman who had made a great success playing various Shakespearean roles on the London stage. But he every now and then returned to Dublin. He was in Dublin, and suddenly he needed a leading lady at very short notice. He was a great defender of Susanna all through her career. He wrote to her, please come over. She couldn't bear not to come, so she came. But she hoped when she was in Dublin that nobody would know about her colourful past. She was quite wrong. Faulkner's Dublin Journal made sure of that. Handel decided to go and hear her. He'd already employed her in London on one or two occasions. He knew perfectly well she had a very thin voice, that she was not trained. She couldn't even read music, but she had wonderful dramatic presence, an affecting way of singing that he couldn't bear to be without her for certain bits of Messiah. She agreed to take part, and they presumably sat down where, we don't know, St. Michael's it could have been, and he would put her through the music and get her to learn it. And she certainly, we know, she moved the audience at the first performance of Messiah. How do we know this? Because we are told that Dr. Delaney, who knew all about her colourful past, was so moved by her singing of "He was despised" that he rose to his feet and declared, "Woman, for this be all thy sins forgiven." And she went on to be a remarkable success in London. After her Messiah performance in Dublin, she returned to the stage, and her husband Theophilus shrugged his shoulders and allowed her to appear with David Garrick and others. Theophilus himself got his own comeuppance, by the way. He was actually, he took up with the wife of a merchant, I think it was, in Dublin. And so he was backwards and forwards between Dublin and London. And she was a bit of an actress herself. They were coming from Chester, from Parkgate, to sail to Dublin, and they got onto this leaky vessel. It was so leaky that some of the linen merchants got off, even leaving their money behind. The ship went down in the middle of the Irish Sea, and that was the end of him.
Kind of a happy ending. Historian Jonathan Barden there on one of the original performers of Handel's Messiah, Susanna Cibber. And you also heard an excerpt from Joe O'Connor's play, Handel's Crossing. You can hear the Messiah performed by the Irish Baroque Orchestra and the Resurgim Choir tonight at 7:30 in St. Peter's Church of Ireland, Drogheda, tomorrow night at the same time in Christchurch Cathedral, Dublin, and on Saturday at St. Nicholas Collegiate Church, Galway at 6:30 p.m. Meanwhile, you can find a further regiment of Georgian Dubliners involved instrumentally or accidentally in the Messiah premiere in Jonathan Barden's book, Hallelujah, the story of a musical genius and the city that brought his masterpiece to life.